بی تو صاحب زمان، بی قرارم هر زمان، بی تو صاحب زمان، بی قرارم هر زمان، از غم هجر تو من دل خسته، همچو مرغ بال و پر بشکسته. بی تو صاحب زمان، بی قرارم هر زمان، بی تو.
زنده نگه داشتن عاشورا یک مسئله بسیار مهم سیاسی عبادی است. عزاداری کردن برای شهیدی که همه چیز را در راه اسلام داد یک مسئله سیاسی است، یک مسئله است که در پیشبرد انقلاب اثر به سزا دارد. آن امین حسین که روایت شده است که پیغمبر فرموده است، این معناش معنای این است که حسین مال من است و منم از او زنده میشم، از او شده است. این همه برکات از سعادت ایشون است، با اینکه دشمن میخواست آثار رو از من ببرد. ما ملت گریه سیاسی هستیم، ما ملتی هستیم که با همین اشک ها سیل جریان میدیم و خورد میکنیم صدهایی را که در مقابل اسلام ایستاده است. و این دستجات عزیز عاشوراست که مردم را به هیجان میارد و برای اسلام و برای حفظ مقاصد اسلامی مهیا می کند. در این امر سستی نباید کرد. مجلس عزا نه برای این است که گریه کنند برای سید شهدا و اجر ببرند، البته این هم هست، و دیگران را اجر اخروی نصیب کنند، بلکه مهم اون جنبه سیاسی است که ائمه ما در صدر
محمد و آل محمد.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد لله رب العالمین، الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا عبد القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
و آل محمد. I'd just like to explain a little bit about some of the stories of Imam Khomeini's life. For us, the life of Imam Khomeini is a very big lesson. It tells us how much one can do, a non-Masum, a regular person can do, if one really struggles to go against the self, where Allah has said to go against the self and to do one's duty. Imam Khomeini's revolution started out basically, you could say, that this was his house. People would come here, the Imam would have roza, people would recite the Masaib of Imam Hussein over in this house, and this was his place, his residence. So, up until the time of Ayatollah Barujerdi, then Imam Khomeini said, well, he's the senior alim. As long as he's here, then it's not my time. And Imam Khomeini actually, even though he was Ayatollah, would sit in the lessons of Ayatollah Barujerdi in order to strengthen him, to show support for him. But then after that, then it became Imam Khomeini's turn. And Imam Khomeini started to go against the Shah, to speak out against the Shah. In the beginning, he tried to advise the Shah to see if he could get him to come to the right side. But then after that, once he saw that, you know, no, there's no way of correcting this guy, then Imam Khomeini started to go all out and to speak against him. But Imam Khomeini didn't have soldiers, he didn't have army, and they had the toughest secret police in the area. They used to call these guys that they were like the, look for a word in English, but they were the protectors of the U.S. interests in the Middle East. They were that important. And their secret police were so terrible. We'll see if you guys get a chance. There is a prison in Tehran where in that prison, the secret police used to torture the individuals to get them to admit who they were and what they had done. Just so you get a picture of the idea of what Imam Khomeini was going through. When you might go to the prison, you might not go to the prison, but one of the things that they'll explain to you is that when we would be distributing the leaflets of Imam Khomeini, these people who were actual people who survived the prison, and they said we would distribute leaflets of Imam Khomeini's work. he gave a speech, he gave a talk, and we would be in teams. So there would, say, let's say, be five of us. And in our team, we would make an agreement amongst one another that if one of us gets caught, you cannot tell what your name is for 24 hours or 48 hours. So that would give the rest of the team, the other brothers and sisters, a chance to run. They hear that, okay, one of our guys got arrested, you guys scatter. So you cannot tell for 24 hours or for 48 hours what your name is, not alone your what you were doing. And the enemy are supposed to get that out of you. In that prison, 10,000 people went through that prison, and over 1,000 women, I think. If you go to the prison, you just see the horrors. One of the tortures that they do over there, because they have some of the torture instruments still left, it just shows you how much, like when we say that we're committed to the imam, to what extent are we committed? Under what circumstances? Alhamdulillah, we have not been tested in that way. Inshallah, we won't be tested in that way. But what did it take for Imam Khomeini to do what he did, the bravery it took? One of those tortures was that there was an iron box about this high. Under the iron box, they heat the iron box up underneath. So you're in a cage, imagine a grown man my size in a cage this size, a metal cage, and they heat the cage up from underneath. So I'm trying to pull myself up from the bottom of the cage because it's burning me. And they're stabbing me on the top of the cage. And this is just, that's just one of the like 80 something different forms of torture that these guys were doing in order to get information out of me. But you had to be so firm, I'm not going to even say my name, because once you said my name is Ali Hassan, then they go, okay, you're from Tehran, you're from us, from this area, they go and arrest the other members of your group. So that's how much it took, just for the regular followers, let alone the pressure that would be on the person who was the leader. So there's one beautiful statement of Imam Khomeini. He says that after he was here, he went to Masjid al-Azam. We're visiting historical places. Even when I tell you about some of the history of this house, you realize. So he went to Masjid al-Azam. Luke was in Masjid. One time he made one historical speech, he makes in a masjid not far from here. There's pictures of Imam Khomeini makes the first speech that Islam is in danger. Ulama save Islam. You hear the scholars crying, everything. And then also there was another important speech that Imam Khomeini made. And after that, the secret police came and got him. And Imam Khomeini said, I swear by Allah that I have never been afraid in my life. I wasn't afraid on the night that they got me. I've never been afraid. Swearing by Allah, a martyr. Not even to have your heart shaken. When they say in the Quran, they say that you only fear Allah. You don't fear anybody else on the face of the earth. The entire world could gather against me as a Muslim. And as the verses of the Quran say, when the enemy tried to make the Muslims afraid, they say that the more you threaten us, that's what gives us energy. Oh, really? More people? Oh, welcome. But that kind of energy under those terrible circumstances. So Imam Khomeini, when he made his statement, at one of the times the secret police, they said, would come over this wall to come in to get Imam Khomeini. There's all different kinds of stories. That door that we see over there, one time the Shah, and then they created a protest against them with the Salak and the secret police and other elements, clubs and stuff like that. And they're marching down the streets, making these different slogans, long live the Shah, this and that, and they're coming down towards the street. So the followers of Imam Khomeini said that we were so terrified, we were like, they came to support Imam Khomeini, so few of them were brave enough to stand with him, even in those circumstances. We were like, at least close the door when they come. Imam Khomeini was like, leave that door open. They were like, no, just at least, you know, they're coming, they're screaming, they're shouting. Wait, Imam Khomeini was like, no. Then one of the guys just was like, I'll just close it. Open the door. Let him keep the door open. Let him stay. Imam Khomeini was like that. But when they came in, they started beating his servant. Servant used to apparently stay over here. He's like, no, I am Ruhullah Allah. Come and get me. And what's so interesting is that his son was talking. He said that, I told my mom, when one time they went there, they got Imam Khomeini. So I came to mom, I was like, mom, they just took our dad. She was like, oh, they got him? Okay. She laid back, put a blanket over here. So that spirit of trusting God, not being afraid of him, not only Imam Khomeini, but his family. I mean, do you know the pressure of, you know, you're being sent to prison, you see how these guys are? So from this house, at one stage, they come and they take Imam Khomeini. They're so afraid of what the reaction will be in the streets. And this is actually a point for us to learn, that we've always had wonderful leaders. Alhamdulillah. We've had the A'imma, we've had the Prophet of Allah, we've had the A'imma, and then we've had great ulama. But the problem that we've had has been in the followers. The problem hasn't been the imam's ready to fight. We have times where person comes to speak to the Imam, and he's like, Imam, stand up and fight. Right? One time, there's a story that a man came from Khorasan, Iran at that time, to Imam Sadr. And he said, Imam, it's time to rise up and fight. And I was like, you know, how many helpers do I have over in Khorasan? It's like, you have 100,000 helpers. You get up, it's time, let's go, let's wage war. The Imam looked at him, he sat down. There was a fireplace, a tamur in the room with the Imam. The Imam was like, really? Okay, you go and you walk into that tamur. I'm sorry, Imam, I didn't mean it. I just thought it was time to rise up, but no, you know, don't you have to burn me alive. So then another person came, another one of the true Shia. The Imam said, you go right into that fire. That man just walked right into the fire. And then the Imam sat and started having a conversation with the other guy. So tell me, what's it like in Iran? And so, you know, the bazaar is like, and the other guy. Then he goes over, he goes, oh, look, those looks, he's the man, it's okay, he's safe. He's sitting there. The Imam comes up. But the idea of having that much faith that if your Imam says, go walk right into a, we didn't have that. And so we had Karbala. We had Imam Hassan. We had Imam Sadr. Imam Qadr. How many Imams? And Allah will not send the final Imam until He sees that readiness in the hearts. So that's what we're waiting on now. We're waiting on the signs, and many of the signs have happened. But as you know in the Quran, it says that Allah will never change the condition of a people until they change. We have to change ourselves. We have to get ready. We have to be ready to sacrifice for Islam. Alhamdulillah, we don't have those kind of tests. The very least is to maintain our watch about these things. So, Imam Khomeini had those followers. People were scared of him. And that was the reason that they had to take Imam Khomeini's sister. Otherwise, these people would kill him. They came for Imam Khomeini. They took Imam Khomeini down the street. They put him in the car. But then they were afraid that if we start the car in the middle of the night, we will wake up and they'll come rushing out and they will stop us. So they rolled the car down the street. Imam Khomeini says, when I was in the car, those secret police who were with me, they were shaking. Imam Khomeini's car was just sitting there. And he said that he thought that that was it. He said they took him off onto the dirt road. He's like, okay, well, now it all ends. And he said after that, he just checked the state of his heart to see, okay, is there any anything? It's going to be all over now. He said, even at that stage, Imam Khomeini didn't feel anything. Actually, he went over and comforted the guards. So the guards were shaking. He's like, don't worry, I'm here, relax. That kind of bravery. So there are all kinds of stories about this house and what happened, and then we'll, inshallah, we'll be visiting some of those sites. But really, we are living in the time where we've got a chance to see the teachings of the A'imma embodied in a person. That according to some ulama, they say that we have not had a person who has come after the Imams. Because nobody can be compared. Nobody on the face of the earth can be compared to the Imams. Nobody, no matter how great they are, nobody. But after them, we've had nobody amongst the companions of the Imams, up into our ulama nowadays, who's been like Imam Khomeini. Ayatollah Fazlul Huda. We have so many stories from our great ulama. I think that quote is from Ayatollah Fazlul Huda, or other great ulama, but we have different quotes about these individuals. So here we are at his house. You see it's very humble abode that the Imam was actually, for the Muslim saying, was actually renting. And now we will go. We won't take much of your time here, inshallah, but this is just a place that, you know, for us is a lesson that what we can do with ourselves if we decide to take a step in the direction of Allah. Salawat.
Allah. ولعن الله امتان سمعت بذلك فرضيت به يا مولاي يا ابا عبد الله اشهد انك كنت نورا في الأصلاب الشامخة والأرحام المطهرة لم تنجسك الجاهلية بأنجاسها ولم تلبسك من مدلهمات ثيابها وأشهد أنك من دعائم الدين وأركان المؤمنين، وأشهد أنك الإمام البر التقي الرضي الهادي المهدي، وأشهد أن الأمة من ولدك كلمة التقوى وأعلام الهدى والعروة الوثقى والحجة على أهل الدنيا، وأشهد الله وملائكته